There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, and glad to have you along. Live local talk over the hour, and our buddy Steve Joint from the Mobile Mask joining us this half hour. Hey, man.
Hey, is that lead-in getting longer? Is it just me? I think it's getting a little longer.
No, but I have a new one I'm about to roll out that is longer, and that's one of the problems, because when I was building the new one, this is what's taken me 2 years to do it. You have to, like, leave things on the cutting room floor.
Sure, yeah.
And you're like, no, but I like that.
I know.
I like that clip. Yeah. I got a whole bunch of new clips. I don't know. It may have to, the intro of the show may have to start, like, maybe in the end of the last hour, and then we'll let it roll through, and then, you know, maybe 10 minutes after the hour, the intro will be over.
I used to, when I taught college classes, I would tell young journalists, I'd say, look, when you do your story, if you leave out stuff that you really liked,
they don't know.
You know you did it right.
Yes, yes. That's true. That is true. Well said. I can imagine that there's, you know, stories that you have to leave on the cutting room floor each year for the mask.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I'm now currently working on a few stories that I want to get in on the Facebook page that are, you know, more than just an item. It's an actual story.
Ooh, like an extra?
Yeah. Yeah, because,
cool.
You know, there's just other stuff that I'm hearing about and whatnot. There was one that I couldn't fit into the magazine, that it's like, okay, well, I'll do it for the Facebook page.
So it's an addendum. You get your Mobile Mask, but you go to the Facebook page and get you.
Yeah, I like to say the magazine gets you ready for Mardi Gras.
Okay.
And then the Facebook page and the Twitter feed, they carry you through Mardi Gras.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you get all the updates and, you know, Is the time going to change for this parade or whatever? That's
Mardi Gras news. Breaking news.
Breaking news and all
you
that
You need
kind
a graphic
stuff,
that
yeah.
says
yeah.
breaking news. Yes. We have, this is not completely breaking news, but this is something that could not have been foretold when you were working for the previous 11 months on producing the mask. You wouldn't have known that we would have this situation that presented itself with the Mardi Gras tree.
Boy, that just came out of nowhere. Yeah.
The Mardi Gras tree.
And there is breaking news. The actual kind of before the actual lighting get-together is going to be in the History Museum.
Okay.
It's getting brighter outside. The rain has stopped. It's moving out. But we got so darn much rain that the park is squishy.
Okay.
So they thought rather than people just traipsing around in the squishy, that we would go to the nice warm History Museum, where we're going to have king cake and live music and moon pies and face painting and balloons, and it's just going to be a cool time. And then we're going to do a little second line across the street to the park and do the tree lighting.
Very good. Now, this is, if people have been under a rock for the last couple of weeks, this is what was the Christmas tree for the city of Mobile.
Over 40 feet tall.
Gigantic.
Gigantic tree.
Has been repurposed. Is now has a second life. Has transformed into a Mardi Gras tree.
As has happened in so many of our living rooms and front rooms and dining rooms across the city.
And it has, just like any good Mardi Gras tree of smaller stature, it has ornaments that reflect the colors of Mardi Gras. Also has a very, very Mobile Mardi Gras tree topper.
Absolutely. It was done by Ron Barrett, LLC. It is taken after the newish flag mm-hmm. that Stephen McNair put together. And Stephen's actually going to be there at the History Museum. He's going to be giving away some beads with that.
I got some of those the other day. It's cool.
On it. Yeah. It's very cool. Yeah, it's very mobile. You got to have you one.
Yes.
And there's lights. Now, they're white lights, but that's okay. My Mardi Gras tree has white lights, and it has purple, green, and gold lights. And then I have another Mardi Gras tree. The tree is purple, and we put gold lights on it. That's kind of our mobile Mardi Gras tree.
Yeah, and that's actually something you and I have talked about probably every year. But it's worth mentioning because the colors of Mardi Gras, and people are like, well, they're standard. It's the colors of Mardi Gras, but Mobile's Mardi Gras colors are different than New Orleans.
Just know this, that the purple, green, and gold actually comes from the Crew of Wrecks in New Orleans. That's that organization's official colors. And they simply have just been taken and made ubiquitous mm-hmm. to mean Mardi Gras, at least in the United States. Mm-hmm. But what happened was, kind of almost at the same time, Mobile came up with its own Mardi Gras colors, and that's purple and gold. So, and I don't get too hung up about it. I mean, I will still wear purple, green, and gold and that kind of thing. But anytime something is official, if something is the official city Mardi Gras bleh, it should be purple and gold.
Yeah, so that's when you first brought that up a couple of years ago, I was like, really? I never thought about that.
But if you drive past my house, we have purple and gold lights up the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. We have a big tree outside covered in purple and gold lights, and we have purple and gold banners hanging across the porch.
And if you look at official Mobile Mardi Gras, it could be any kind of thing, logos or whatever, and the colors are purple and gold.
As the new flag that of Stephen McNair's.
So the lights tonight, the white lights will be turned on.
Right.
And at that point, how long do you then keep a Mardi Gras tree up? Does it go to Ash Wednesday? Does it come down Ash Wednesday?
I don't think many of us do anything of any real purpose on Ash Wednesday, do you think?
No.
Do we?
Well, I mean, yeah. other than me hitting church, that's it, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, coming here.
And, you know, and I myself hit the computer and I'm posting photos because I'm usually about a week and a half behind on mm-hmm. photos and stuff like that. So, yeah, I mean, there's, you know, people argue about when to take Christmas tree down, and I think there's various opinions on that. Yeah, eventually you should take it down. You know, don't do like the porch lights all year long type of thing. Go ahead and take the tree down.
I'm just trying to learn the etiquette.
You'll appreciate the extra space, I promise.
Yes, I'm just trying to learn the etiquette now for Mardi Gras trees. Just joining us talking
I'd say before Easter. How about that?
There you go. There's a rule that's good. Make sure to have that tree down before the Easter Bunny shows up.
Or hang eggs on it.
Don't start. Don't start, Joint. Don't start. Steve Joint with the Mobile Mask. Let's talk about what... Now, that's tonight. Once again, you had the party starting at 5... Is it?
Yeah, you know, I'm telling folks like 5:15. The city is saying 5:30.
Okay.
I think we're going to second line very shortly before 6.
Okay, so get there, have a snack.
A 5:15 to 6:15 kind of deal. I think once it's lit, I don't know that we're all going to hang around that much longer.
Yeah, I got a note from the city. I think I was told specifically, what was it this morning? It's 6:10 for the lighting. I was like, wow, that's
very specific. It's been a little, like the park, it's been a little mushy. We've been kicking various times around. Get there when you can. You'll have fun, I promise.
All right, then let's talk about what happens tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night is the Condi Cavs.
Yes, downtown Mardi Gras gets started.
That's right, and it's what everybody's been waiting for. So.
Yeah, I mean, we've had the warm-up, the great parades on Dolphin Island, right. but now, I don't want to disc it, but we'll just say the downtown season gets started.
Yeah.
Yep. And it's always a big one for a lot of folks that have been wanting to go to parades. I'm thinking about the little Sullivans in my house have been asking, when's first parade? When's first parade? When's first parade? When's first parade? And that's tomorrow night.
We own it. And we own it.
So let's talk about that. This is over the years. This has been, people think about, okay, as you get closer to Fat Tuesday, more parades, bigger crowds maybe. But I think just anecdotally, and you know the science of this, or the, you know, how you, it always seems like it's really big.
Condi Cavs is a big opener, and it's been, I think it's been more so that way like the last 5 years.
Okay.
They've been that got bigger about 5 years ago, and then it's stayed that big. You know, I think people are just, they get excited for that first one. Mm-hmm. And if the weather's at all decent, it's supposed to be not rainy.
Right.
Yay.
Yeah.
And not warm, but no, not freezing your face
right
off.
Right.
So it's going to be a decent evening out there.
So you think continues that trend of pretty big crowds?
I think so, yeah. And then the next day, you know, we start right up downtown in the afternoon, 2 o'clock with Bayport and Mystic DJ Riders right behind them, and then we go right into Saturday night.
I want you all to know that he does this without a list in front of him.
With Pharaohs and Order of Hebe and the Condi Explorers.
You know, and that's the thing, too. It's not just the fact that we get cranked up for the downtown season. It's not. It used to be, it was like Condi's, and then it was a while.
Right.
And now it's just Condi's, and it's just, you're wide open through that. I mean,
it's definitely done a lot of, you know, I had a discussion with somebody not long ago, and somebody said, well, 50 years ago, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, 50 years ago, you'd had about half the parades that you do now.
That's how much the growth has been.
About half. Yeah.
Right. Coming right back. More Steve joined for the Mobile Mask. We'll talk about where you can get your copy of the Mobile Mask, and then you can enjoy the addendum pieces on the Facebook page. Take your calls and text as well. 343-0106.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 1065. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, we'll get right back into our conversation with Steve Joint from Mobile Mask, talking Mardi Gras and the world's largest Mardi Gras tree, the way I see it here in Mobile. Get any reaction from our buddy Angelo at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry? What about a Mardi Gras tree silver round? Huh? Is that something you're thinking?
That would be pretty cool. That would be pretty neat. Yeah, take a nice picture, nice rendition of the tree, and put it on a silver round or a silver bar. I think we can make a go of that.
See, he's always full of ideas. And you know what? We need ideas right now, because if people hadn't checked, Valentine's Day is coming quickly.
It really is. I mean, it's a little over a week away. So, Sean, for people like you and I that don't worry about things till we get, you know, within 12 hours, 24 mm-hmm. hours, you know, we've got time. We've got lots of time. But for those other people out there that like to plan ahead, you really got to think about this. And we've got pretty much anything and everything you would need for Valentine's Day except for the card here at Mobile Bay Coin. Look at all the cool silver pieces. Maybe you're not going to get a Mardi Gras tree, but you could get an I Love You heart on a silver piece. Have it engraved with your special someone's name on the back. Maybe you want to get a pair of earrings, or maybe you're really stepping it up this year and you're actually popping the question. We can help you out with the perfect ring.
All right. So let's talk about that. For those folks, the responsible folks, they need to get in there early. So give them directions to come see you.
Yeah, we're in Midtown, 2204 Government Street. You can check us out at mobilebaycoins.com. Or if you want to see what we've got going on right now, go into Facebook or check us out on Instagram.
Thanks, Angelo.
Have a good one, Sean.
You too. Angelo checking in from Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. A busy place always, but yeah, especially get a couple days before Valentine's and walk in there and see the bustle of gentlemen that are in there.
It's a week from Friday.
Yeah.
It's a week from tomorrow.
Yeah. So you have been duly warned.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I'm already done.
Show off.
You know, I have to, but look how busy I am now.
Right. This is beyond your peak season.
Yeah,
you had to buy that
Christmas.
You had to buy that in November.
Right. Exactly.
And all that stuff, pre purchase. And also, let's talk about where people can pick up a copy of The Mask.
We're at 21 different stores in Mobile and Baldwin counties.
Good for you.
Rouse's is a good bet. Toomey's, absolutely all three locations of Toomey's. Go on, you want to ask me what the three locations of Toomey's are?
Yeah, well, I know Mobile,
the main store.
Yeah.
And then there's the Carnival Museum gift shop is run by Toomey's.
Okay, I didn't think about that.
And that gift shop is awesome. Have you ever been in there?
I have not.
I mean, they've got some really nice Mardi Gras stuff in there. You should check it out. But they also have a seasonal store that this year is in Malbus at the Eastern Shore mm-hmm. Center.
So you got Baldwin County, Mobile County, and then the gift shop.
Right. And there's a list of all the stores where you can find Mobile Mask on mobilemask.com. Just click on the magazine.
There you go. Speaking of museums, you've got an event coming up where people come out and see you in person.
Right. I hate, you know, it's kind of competition with Midday Mobile, so I apologize for that. But this is the Learning Lunch. I've done one every year for like the last 7 years, I think, now. And it's at the History Museum at noon on Wednesday the 12th.
Okay.
This year, the topic is Game of Throws.
I see what you did there.
Yeah. Come on in. We it's always a packed house. We always have a good time. Bring you lunch. We got drinks, you know, sodas and water and stuff, and maybe a treat or two.
Speaking of throws,
including Excelsior Band will be there.
Well, you got me. You had me at Excelsior Band.
So there you go.
Do the show down there.
Yeah.
This is obviously about those things that come off the floats and throws. And I got a discussion with my son the other day. We're coming back from Cub Scouts, and we talked about the Cub Scout meeting about Mardi Gras, and then they did a little throwing moon pies to the Cub Scouts and all that.
Right.
And I was trying to explain to my son why it wasn't good to eat the moon pie in the backseat of the car, but it's a whole other story. But he said, isn't it great that they developed moon pies for Mardi Gras, Dad? And I said, well, it didn't exactly work that way.
No. Moon pies were invented in 1910 or something like that.
It got we brought it into Mardi Gras. I was trying to explain to him that we brought it in.
It's something we zeroed in on. And, you know, there was a time when Cracker Jacks were very big.
Right.
Very, very big. And, of course, the tale, the legend is that Cracker Jacks got banned because people were getting in the eye with the boxes.
And they come in bags.
So somebody came up with moon pies. You know, they're soft and they come in little wrappers, and we can toss those. That won't hurt anyone.
And then, I guess.
Now we got the triple deckers. Boy, they hurt.
Now we've incorporated it. There's some people with some great throwing arms, some MLB throwing arms with those things. As you look at the throws over time, too, the beads, thinking back to history of glass beads.
Right.
I mean, that seems like now I'm like, throwing glass beads, holy cow.
Well, it was more tossing. And it was, pretty early on, you had not that, you know, each writer didn't have that many of them. So they were saving them for sweethearts and pretty girls.
Right.
And, you know.
Hey, ain't much changed.
Right, exactly. And, you have to remember, when they were first doing this, the people on the floats were essentially actors. They were portraying a scene, either from history or from literature. And they were dressed all as different characters.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have four or five or six or seven people on a float. But they are part, it's like a diorama. They're part of the scene.
Versus today where it's the theme of this float and all the costumes kind of go with that theme.
And they weren't facing the crowd. They were facing each other. Because they were, and they might do a little movement. Here, my hand, like this. Here, I'm handing you something. Here, I'm handing you something. Here, I'm handing you something. You know, over and over again down the parade route. So it's kind of a live diorama type of thing. You know, like we still do live nativities.
Right.
You know.
So it was that same idea.
So
versus just
they
being,
weren't throwing.
Right.
They weren't even looking at the crowd. And the crowd was simply... times were simpler.
Yes.
Crowds weren't so demanding. They were easily entertained.
The fact that that was going by was enough.
Right. They would say, oh, look, it's King Nefertiti.
Yeah.
You know, and isn't that interesting? And most of the members of the organization, and the organizations weren't as big, and most of the members of the organization weren't on the floats. They were on horseback. And they would be dressed in a way that went along with the theme that year. You know, they'd have on, you know, kind of armor or some kind of warrior or, you know, something like that. And they'd come along and it'd be very impressive and they'd be, between the floats, a bunch of them on horseback.
There you go. See, this is some of the history you'll get. And, of course, the history of the throws. That's awesome.
I'm just getting warmed up. Wait till you come out next Wednesday. Yeah. Well, you'll get the whole story.
You know, because there's things that I'm sure today we consider being, well, of course they've always thrown this thing.
Right.
And it could be a fairly new addition to Mardi Gras.
Fairly, yeah.
Cups,
for example.
Yes.
Fairly new.
It just
came out in the Crew of Allah, which was a West Bank parade at that time in the New Orleans area. They came out with the first cups in 1980.
That's as long as, I guess, because you had to get cheap plastic cups. And
you get, you know, a cool, you know, your organization imprinted on the cup. I mean, that's the whole point.
Well, it makes up for, like, our family, 50% of our stemware in the house.
Exactly. I mean, what do you call 8 matching Mardi Gras cups? A set.
Yes, that's right. That's right. We need to catch a whole sleeve if we have friends over and entertain.
Sure. Yeah. That's a party right there.
Should match, and we serve them on frisbees for plates that match too as well.
They're great for crawfish.
They are great for crawfish. It's just not big enough. I got to get a really big frisbee.
Right.
All right. Once again, this afternoon, 5:15, 5:30.
I put those out there, and this one lady said, "I'm not going to be able to get off work in time." I said, "Yeah, you know,
it's Mardi Gras.
Come on out. We'll still be there. You'll have fun."
Okay, so History Museum first,
right?
Then you have a little social there, and then it's the second line.
Second line over to the tree, and we'll turn on the tree, and we'll say yay, and then we'll go back to the History Museum and finish off all the king cake.
There you go. As always, man.
Can't ask for more.
No, you can't. I love the education. And be looking for those pictures on the Facebook page of the lit up Mardi Gras tree.
Yeah, man.
All right, good stuff. Steve Joynt, thank you. See you next week.
Oh, yeah.
All right, coming right back, former Senator Sessions, trying to be Senator Sessions again, joins us on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile online at fmtalk1065.com. And take a second here out of a very busy day for former Senator and maybe Senator again. We'll find out. Jeff Sessions, who's joining us now, as he is, you're going from down here in Southwest Alabama. You're now heading back north, right? Is that the travel plans for the day?
Yeah, we're going up to Birmingham. I'll be on Laura Ingraham tonight. I was on Tucker Carlson a couple of days ago, but we'll go to Huntsville. We'll go to Decatur, Florence, Gadsden. We'll probably do more than 1,000 miles this week.
Wow. A lot of windshield time, but it was good to have you back in our area yesterday. You had a event last night, and you had an event this morning, and now more events in the rest of the state. This is the job of campaigning for Senate.
It's a big job. It's an important job. The Senate has a responsibility to its state's interests, you know, to protect our military bases, to help our industries, and make sure they're treated fairly. And at the same time, Alabamians particularly, I think, want somebody who's defending aggressively, who knows what he's talking about, defending our interests and our values, to make sure that, you know, you can't be a potted plant. So it's a big, big job. You need to be a voice for our people and the values that we share. And I come out of Alabama, the country of Alabama, and I think I'm imbued with those values, the highest and best values that we should project and do my best on those two important issues.
Look, you know, yesterday when he announced, Senator Doug Jones announced that he was going to vote to remove the president, to not acquit, and then taking that vote, he felt that he was representing the state of Alabama. You disagree with that?
Well, I certainly disagree with that. He's dead wrong. I've been saying for weeks, this is nowhere close to the kind of charges that would justify an impeachment. They don't even charge a crime, and they don't charge any kind of significant abuse. It's just not the kind of thing you remove a president for. For heaven's sakes, it shouldn't take you long at all. But what we did see, Sean, he revealed himself to be what I have believed, and most people, I think, believe all along, that he is a national Democrat. I mean, he defended Nancy Pelosi's decision to hold back sending the articles of impeachment over, which let it turns out, fall smack dab on the time of the president's State of the Union address. He asked for witnesses, but the very same witnesses Chuck Schumer wanted, and no pro-Trump witnesses. He's never defended President Trump from any of the multiple unfair criticisms he's received, even though President Trump swept his constituents in Alabama by a huge margin. People expect their senator to defend their interest and their things, and he's shown that he is in bed. He's a foot soldier for the Democratic machine, and that's Pelosi, Schumer, and all these other candidates. Some of them are socialists and radical.
You mentioned that for the National Democrats, a foot soldier for them, and there's a you're using a a modifying word there, and is that important? Because I know that Senator Jones, he's been on here before, on this show, and been on trying to talk about kind of the moderate, how he's different than those National Democrats, but you're saying he's carrying their water, right?
Absolutely. Look, I mean, there have been two big time votes that, among a lot of others. But the two big-time votes were the Kavanaugh Supreme Court nomination. He voted with the liberals. He voted with the Democrats. And the other one was the impeachment vote. A huge, 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 historic vote. Trump was totally acquitted. They were nowhere close to an impeachment, required votes to impeach him. And he voted the other way, against the wishes of the people of Alabama. He's on the other team. Politically, Alabamians believe in less government. They want to end the illegality at the border. They want to stand up and protect American workers and manufacturing from China and other trade cheats. And Doug Jones is proving to be a part of the other team. He's just a part of the other team. That's just all it is to it.
But yeah, looking at it pragmatically, just from where I sit, I think it's a tell that his polling is showing what the other polling, that he's not going to win. He's not going to win. So he's doing whatever. And we can get into discussion another day. Is that setting himself up for something else in Washington? I don't know. But for Alabama, it's one of y'all that is running in this Republican primary that will be our next senator. So let's talk about getting there. Like 3 weeks left in this, and you're making the case. You're leading right now in the polls, but making the case that you need the job. Why people should go with you? Because I mean, you've got a majority of folks, but still, you and others, nobody's got a 50% plus in the polling, right? I mean, there's still some split decisions out there.
Well, I think people are correctly are looking at the candidates and thinking over the issues, but we certainly are in good position. We have a lead. But look, let me just say this to the people of Alabama right now. I am not asking for your support to go up there just to retirement. I'm not asking for your support for some sort of vindication or anything like that. I'm not going to be a potted plant. I have learned some things over the 20 years I served in the Senate. I believe that President Trump is correct on a whole group of issues, but a number of our Republicans are soft on the trade, standing up against trade deficits and protecting America. A number of them are not very strong on the border, and a number of them don't understand the danger of these prolonged wars, how much it costs us and how little benefit we may get from it. I'm saying that I believe at this point in time I will be able to better than anyone else defend the financial interest of Alabama, our highway monies, all the things that our business interests in the state effectively, but at the same time, I am ready, I'm proven, I know what this Republican Senate needs to do to get behind President Trump, have a unified voice, and to really transform America and create a majority for years to come of the American people. Let me just tell you, Sean, I believe the Democrats are not only like President Trump, they are terrified. He's bringing in new voters. He's bringing in more minorities than any Republican has, and he'll get even more this time. He's bringing in more Democrats than any independent has. He's running such high numbers among independents, and he's holding uniformly the Republican solid core. This is the kind of majority, bringing in these new voters that we can use to defeat the socialists, the radicals that are creating so much havoc in our country and having so much influence in the Democratic Party.
Well, I know your focus is
I want to be a part of it. I believe I understand this at the depth of my being, and at this point in history, I believe I can contribute to Alabama and our interests and beliefs.
I've never had a doubt about that. As I've said, you know, we talk about what's going on in this battle in Washington. You wrote the playbook, so I get that. But one of the questions I know you're focused on the Senate, but you said something, the momentum being built there, and there are some saying that the Democrats flew too close to the sun on this, to the point that it may shift the House. In your estimation, I know we're talking, but do you think there's any truth to that the Republicans may take control of the House?
It's possible. I think people are hot about this. And I thought that they would begin to back down after this colossal defeat on impeachment. And I hear that Jerry Nadler said they got even more investigations they want to bring up.
Yeah, that was my next question.
This is a high risk. Yeah. People are tired of this. The president was investigated interminably by the Mueller team. They left no rock unturned. There was an inspector general at the Department of Justice that did a major investigation. The House committees did all kinds of investigation for months. But at some point, and we get this dramatic acquittal in the Senate by a huge vote, it's time to go on, to get about the business of America. And if the Democrats just keep beating him up, which I believe is because they're terrified that he's right on the issues. The people like what he's saying. If they don't attack him personally and try to make that the issue, then they might indeed lose big time. And this could be an enduring majority for a long time to come, a more common sense majority. I think that's where we are. I think this could result in an increase in wins in the Congress and help in the Senate too.
But wouldn't you almost in that case, for the longer game, want to get out of their way? And if they want to go back and in the Senate, in the House, take another bite out of this or move things, try to move other articles, just sit back and let them do it. But if they didn't learn their lesson on this one, all right, go ahead, be our guest.
Well, yes, you could say that, but really they shouldn't do it.
Agreed.
Number one, but number two, you're raising a point. You don't just let them do it. We need senators and congressmen pointing out the obsession that they've had, the baselessness, the need to be focused on the issues important to America. They need to be doing that every day in defending President Trump against this prolonged, continual harassment, really. Yes. If they want to do it, I think they run a great risk. But I thought they were running a risk to do the impeachment, and they did it anyway.
Yep, they just hadn't learned their lesson. Senator Sessions, thank you for your time. Thanks for checking in with us. I know you got a busy day, and we'll get you back on the show soon.
Hey, thanks, Sean.
As always, a pleasure talking to Jeff Sessions. Of course, we will continue our discussion with all the folks running in the Senate race as we move forward. But yeah, like the Doug Jones thing, was any of y'all surprised by that yesterday? Truly, tell me, were you surprised by Senator Jones' vote?
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Big thank you to Jeff Sessions joining us by telephone, and hopefully getting them back in studio very, very soon. Also, talk about tonight's Democrat debate. AO1 Democrats debating tonight at the Gulf Quest Maritime Museum Theater. Get to that in just a second. This segment of the show brought to you by Stamps.com. Now, think about this. The time you spend with your business, small business, medium-sized business, big business, going to get stamps, going to get postal supplies, That's the time somebody in your business isn't doing whatever their major job is. I know that was the situation for us, and we've moved into the next level here with Stamps.com. Think about this as well. Postage rates have gone up again. Thankfully, Stamps.com eases that pain with big discounts off post office retail rates. With Stamps.com, you save 5 cents off every first-class stamp and up to 40% off shipping rates. That kind of savings really adds up, especially for small businesses. I get it. Plus, Stamps.com is completely online, which helps save you time. No more inconvenient trips to the post office. And Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer. So whether you're a small office sending out invoices, that's like us, or an online seller shipping out products, maybe you're doing that, even if you have a warehouse, sends out thousands of packages a day. Stamps.com can handle all that with ease. It saves you time. It saves you money. It's a no-brainer. And over 700,000 small businesses are already using Stamps.com if you're looking for a referral on that. And right now, y'all can get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale with no long-term commitment. What do you do? Go to Stamps.com. When you're there at Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in my first name, Sean, S-E-A-N, S-E-A-N, Sean. It's Stamps.com. Make sure to enter my code, Sean. All right, check it out. Let me know what you think. Okay, tonight, here's the platforms it'll be on. Tonight, so the AL1 Democrat debate, and Robert Kennedy Jr. for Kennedy for Alabama, who comes on with us every Thursday morning, was on this morning. I think a lot better to have Robert Kennedy Jr., a Democrat, moderate the Democrat debate than have me in the mix, but I will be interested in listening and watching the answers of the Democrat. He, along with Peter Albrecht from News 5, will be the moderators in tonight's debate. You can go there in person. They ask that you get there 5:15 or so, because the debate starts at 6. I mean, on the nose, 6. So be in your seats by 5:45 down there at the Gulf Quest Maritime Museum. Just go to the theater, and if you go to the front desk and ask them where the debate is, somebody will show you. It's not far from where you walk into Gulf Quest. Go get a seat there. If you can't be there in person, we're going to be running the debate here at FM Talk 106.5 starting at 6 this evening. So straight up on the nose, Paul Feinbaum show ends, and the Democrat debate will begin live from Gulf Quest. And then if you feel compelled to like I have kinfolk say, look at TV. If you want to look at TV and see Robert and see Peter doing the moderation with the three candidates, it'll be on WKRG-TV starting at 6 as well. It'll stay on WKRG till 7 when it'll go to their Facebook page, but the entirety till 7:30 will run here at FM Talk 106.5. So your chance to listen, watch, or be there in person for the AL1 Democrat debate, that's tonight starting at 6. All right, so put that on your list here. You're a Democrat. You're not a Democrat, but interested in what the Democrats are doing. Whatever your reason here, your compulsion, check it out. AL1 Democrat debate. All right. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. I am out of here. Be back with y'all tomorrow morning for Mobile Mornings, and it'll be Friday. How about that? All right. Feinbaum next. Y'all have a great one.